Headed down to the neon lights, it's where I want to be, because I'm just trying to make it.
You're listening to the Diamonds in the Rough podcast.
I'm just trying to make it.
Powered by Prospects Live.
Yo, 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 welcome back to Diamonds in the Rough, presented by Prospects Live. I'm your host, joined by co-host Nick Schnell and producer Grayson Shook. As always, it is Wednesday. No clue what the date is. Just doesn't matter in rehab. You just
22nd.
The 22nd. You know, days run together. Dates don't matter. But listen, I just want to start out by saying I'm glad all three of us are here, because the podcast almost broke up about 4 hours ago. Something, I don't know what happened really. I was texting Schnell. And listen, Schnell is.
It was the way you worded the text.
Say, I reread it. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But Schnelly has some real life things going on. He's become a dad for really the first time. His son's with him. He's adjusted to playing again for the first time in about a year. I haven't expected him to do anything for the podcast. I just haven't expected him at all. So today he starts talking about some stuff he's going to do on TikTok. And I'm like, all right, sweet. I was like, I haven't been on you because I knew you had real life stuff going on. Well, all of a sudden, I get a Schnelly novel on the text message. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm reading it and he's saying like, hey man, if you don't let me go, that's fine. I was like, no, dude, I'm good. I was just letting you know that you don't have to grind for us right now while you're trying to play. So yeah, but we're all good now. We've come to an agreement. We've renegotiated the contract.
I am grinding though.
Yeah, that's a good segue into what right before we started recording, you admitted you were the best hitter ever. So tell us about that a little bit.
Maybe it's like Barry Bonds, King Griffey Jr. than me.
Oh my god!
Maybe you can maybe throw like. No, actually, those are the only two I can think of.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's like Barry Bonds, King Griffey Jr., and like me right here.
Yeah, so I mean, if you saw on Twitter, which most people did, it turned out to do pretty well, as it should have. I was actually dying when you sent it to me. Schnelly clears the batter's eye in Augusta, Georgia, which is a bomb, and just sprints out of the batter's box like he's going three. And the funniest part is the announcer, like, you don't see the ball, but you see you sprint out of the box, and the announcer is, oh, it clears the batter's eye. I was like, it cleared the batter's eye. He's in a dead sprint.
Well, I haven't – first of all, I always go backside.
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard to hit a no-doubter backside. Second of all
– that wasn't backside, though. It was dead center.
No, it's dead center. Squared up as a gift. Literally, it was actually more to right than it was to left. Like, it was like naturally. If you split the batter's eye, it was more to right than left. So, technically, you could consider it a pull side bomb.
I guess.
But it's also the Carolina League. And Bobby Seymour, literally the day before, hit a ball that seemed to be, like, either as hard or maybe even harder to center, and it didn't leave the yard. The wind was blowing in that day, but, like, and it wasn't the day that I hit mine. But I'm just like, I was just like, I've also seen balls hit like that in Charleston that don't leave.
What you're saying is you're soft.
That ball leaves any park. I'm pretty confident though, actually.
And then you hit another one the next day and you text me and say you low key pimped it. It was so low key that it didn't exist. You just jogged instead of sprinted.
Yeah. I hit it and down to. I can't, dude. I can't. First of all,
we're making strides though. Like, went yeah, from we're sprint to jog. So next one is just a full on Drew Gilbert bat flipping the dugout.
Mansueta hit a ball. So you know Augusta. For you guys that haven't been or seen Augusta, look up their field if you're listening to this. There is an apartment complex in left field. It is probably seven stories high. And Mansueta hit a ball off the top story, bro.
That's a new. Did it clear the net?
It cleared the net. It hit the top. Oh, literally, there's the top guardrail. It almost went over the building. Like, it was literally 5 feet from going over the building.
That is a nuke, yeah.
He hit it, and he did not leave the batter's box until it hit the building.
That's how it's done.
Yeah, I was like, dang, I should have done that. I mean, it was it is legitimately the furthest ball I've ever seen hit in my life.
That's
in
sick.
Person.
That's some juice. So yeah, that video was hilarious. I got a video that was equally as hilarious. It relates absolutely nothing to baseball, but Joe Biden falling off the bike was one of the funniest videos I've ever seen in my life. Oh my gosh. It was just like, I'm not really sure how he fell. He was just standing there. And then it just, if you haven't seen it, just look it up. Like, it'll be the first thing that pops up. I don't care what political party you associate with. That video is objectively funny.
Yeah.
Like, if that was my dad on the bike, I'd be dying laughing. So, it was so funny. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, who is this guy? Like, yeah, I didn't know it was Joe Biden.
I didn't realize it was him.
I realized it was him. I was like, God, who put that man on a bike?
Yeah, once you hit a certain age, like, you shouldn't be able to operate a car. You shouldn't be able to be on a bike.
Imagine if our president couldn't operate a car.
He probably doesn't.
Well, he's there.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't.
He's in the age range, whatever it is. He's in the qualified age range.
I had a funny story with my great-grandma.
He'd forget how to drive.
My great-grandma had a little hit-and-run action. She's like 90. She hit somebody in traffic, kept going, pulled into her house. It was like a couple hours later, the police got there, knocked on her door, and she came out. She said, "What took you so long?" She knew. That's that North Georgia in her, though. She wasn't stopping. But yeah, no, I agree. There's some serious, what's the word I'm looking for? Not obstructions on the road, hazards. When older people get behind the wheel, it's some hazards on the road.
Yeah.
But I just got back from the FCL game. For some reason, we had a late game today and a late day.
Yeah.
Which the game was nice. I don't know. I don't really know why it was late. I hated our schedule for rehab, but the game was very nice. Started at 7. I think it had something to do with Chris Sale starting for the Red Sox and Wander playing for us. They actually had a nice crowd there. Yeah, but it was sick. Chris Sale is nasty. The Wander at bat was a good one. Battled for a little bit. I tweeted it out if you hadn't seen it. He got him with the nasty Chris Sale slider. That dude could literally blow away in the wind. I couldn't believe it. He weighs 150 pounds.
Yeah, and he's soaking like 6'5".
Yeah, he's nasty. That. But yeah, that was cool. That was the first FCL game I've been to. Got a solid squad as always at the race. There's a guy. What's his name?
Caminero.
He hit a seed off Chris Sale. He had a good at bat, a 2-2 count. He was on a fastball, fouled it straight back, and then just absolutely smashed one through the four hole on a line. And he looked like a big leaguer.
He legitimately, no joke, had the most impressive week and a half I've ever seen out of a hitter when I was down there. Like, I was hitting well. Like, I had 3 homers on a week, like in a week, and he had 6 in a week and a half.
Yeah, no, the dude, he just like looks the part too. So Rays fans, you can get excited about him because he looks the part.
Legit.
He's I've heard about him for a couple months. I hadn't really seen him play. Like, Chanel was talking about, a bunch of people talking about, he's Babe Ruth down here. And then he's working a count against Chris Sale and barreling one. So I'm starting to wonder why he's still
down there.
That's like the final check mark. Like, you just barreled Chris Sale. So
yeah,
you get to go to Charleston. We'll see. He's a monster, it looks like. Good. Just another prospect in the Rays system. Shocker. Speaking of Rays, I would love to watch a Rays game this year. I think it would be awesome. Sadly, I cannot. I'm blacked out of every game. We have Garrett Cole and Shane McClanahan on the mound right now in a pitcher's duel. Would be awesome to watch. 1-0. Rizzo hit an absolute
nuke. I saw Rizzo hit a solo. I didn't know if we
Speaking of Rizzo, that's a good topic for the batting average doesn't matter, because if you're an old school baseball guy and you go to Anthony Rizzo and look at his stats on the year, and the first thing that's going to pop out is he's hitting .235. This doesn't tell a story. He's got 19 jacks, 49 RBIs with an .863 OPS.
Yeah,
he's having an elite spot. Season. Yeah, 19 bombs. Good. It's on pace for like 44.
Yeah, That team is.
Dude, they almost hadn't, since we just all kind of gave them the old blow fest the other day. They haven't. They didn't lose until last night. It was the first game they lost, and they blew it. I was about to say, I was already prepping for that. That we talked about the Yankees so much, how good they were, and they didn't lose again. Yeah, but they're on pace to win like 122 games.
But Aaron Judge is on pace to hit a billion homers.
Yeah, 1,000. He's nasty.
Dude, I would love to hit a ball as hard as Hittman Stanton hit a ball. Just once.
It's just easy juice too. They absolutely mash them.
What I was talking about with a bunch of hitters the other day is how easy, and I mean, this is what makes guys big leaguers, but we watched the walk-off that Rizzo hit, and it was a 96-mile-an-hour sinker low and away, and he pulled it for a homer. The fact that big leaguers take outside pitches, like even low and away pitches, and are able to pull them and get a barrel to it is unbelievable to me.
Like, it looks like, I don't know this for a fact, but it looks like he stands a little bit closer to the plate now that he plays in Yankee Stadium and just
he's plays always in the been porch. On top of the dish.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's always been close, but now he's – I mean, why not try to pull everything at Yankee Stadium? Yeah, 100%. Even if you miss it, you can get it out.
Yeah, like, there's been a couple homers there. I think, like, Judge hit one the other day that literally the projections came out, and it was a home run in one of 30 parks. And
it's funny, though, because usually when you're talking about Yankee home runs, everybody brings up the short porch and stuff. But this year, Judge has hit so many that are just absolute nukes that every time it's brought up, they're like, well, yeah, but his are actually bombs. I was watching another game the other day. It was the Nationals. And no disrespect to Nationals fans, but they're a bad team. They're very, very bad. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I was watching Patrick Corbin pitch, and he was doing well. Air at second base with two outs. And he gave up 7 in the inning. He barely, after he had 2 outs, no runs, an error with 2 outs, gave up 7.
No shot. Just,
yeah, good no, we were eating somewhere and we were watching it. It was bad. They started hitting everything. Schwarber hit a couple bombs, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, dude, this guy signs a big contract with the Nationals, and then everybody leaves. Him and Soto are the only ones left. Like, I feel like a guy like him, number one, it's tough to trade him because he got like 4 years left on his deal, so he would come at a huge price. Like, that's tough. I was talking to somebody the other day who played for the Orioles when they were really, really struggling. They're showing – they've got some excitement brewing now with some prospects and stuff, but kind of in just the absolute dark days of the Orioles, and he was on the team. It was actually Hess, who – shout out to David Hess. He had cancer this offseason, made a full recovery, cleared, and he's back with the Durham Bulls now. So, he's a
– big time.
Yeah, good story. But I was asking him. I was like, dude, y'all lost like – 15 games straight. He was talking about it, and I was like, what's the motivation to show up to the field? Like, is it just to get traded? He was like, honestly, he's like, you're playing to get traded, because you can try to ignore it all you want, but you know you're losing 15 games in a row. Like, that's it's no secret. You know that's bad. Like, that's like your only motivation. And like, for Patrick Corbin, who has to show up every day knowing they're gonna lose 87 games, 90 games, like, that's tough, and you know you're not gonna get traded. But I don't know. That was random, but I was thinking about that when we were watching that game. I've never been on a team that just consistently loses like that. So I can't imagine. Yeah.
That's actually Nate Perry was talking about that. He was like, "Dude, when I was with the Astros, he was like, our minor leagues." He goes, "I'm not used to winning because we swept last week. We lost the first three this week, and then won the last three. And after the third loss in a row, like." Everybody was like freaking out. Like, it was like we had literally blown 25 straight games. And then Nate Perry's like, dude, winning is so fun. He was like, like with the Astros, like we did not do this. Like, he was like, it makes it so much better.
And people wonder how the race, like, you look at the race lineup sometimes, you're like, how are they winning games and stuff like that? And they got people hurt. But like, winning, well, you establish winning early on. Like, a guy that knows how to win is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember even in, like, in high school, where my high school was just not used to winning, but my grade came in, we'd all play together forever. And Shook, you know this. We'd always won. Like, we won in middle school. We won when we were younger. We get to high school, we expect to win. Like, that's how it works. And when you roll up expecting to win, that usually translates. Like, you're going to be in every game. And that's tough to establish, but the Rays done a really good job of establishing that in the minor leagues, because you look last year, every minor league team wins. And then you've created a bunch of winners that are talented. That's going to translate at any level.
100%.
Shout out, Rays. Let me get the notes here. Okay. Stick on some baseball, naturally. I have a conversation. I have a topic I've been wanting to talk about because I've grown sick of it. So Freddie Freeman was a Brave. He was a great Brave, an all-time Brave. He's with the Dodgers now. He is a free agent. He chose the Dodgers. They gave him more money. He lived in L.A. It makes complete sense. Well, Braves fans have not seemed to let that go. Like, and I get it. Fans are passionate. We love the game. Like, I was mad at Julio Jones for like a week. Don't get me wrong. I'm passionate. I'm a fan too. But come on. So the reason I bring this up is because I bookmarked the tweet, so let me make sure I don't mess it up. So it was the Los Angeles Magazine wrote an article about Freddie Freeman. He doesn't drink, smoke, or swear. But if LA fans don't love him anyway, he's the least surly, most friendly player in the majors. Just might help make the game of baseball America's favorite pastime once again. And it's an article about him. Well, I got Braves fans in the comments chirping him here. They're quoting it. And well, how come this article wasn't written when he was in Atlanta? Well, it was written by Los Angeles Magazine, number one. So that's the first answer. Number two, yeah, they're like using this as a knock on Freddie. They're acting like Freddie walked up to the Los Angeles Magazine door and like, hey, will you write this article on me? Like, that's not how it works. They approach him. Like if the Atlanta Journal-Constitution approaches Freddie and writes an article, it would have been the same thing. Like, I don't understand why they keep hanging on to this. Like, there's no reason to hate the guy. He did everything for the organization. He's the face of the franchise. Won a World Series. Move on. You have Matt Olson, who's leading the league in doubles, and you have him for the next 6 years or whatever. He's 27. Yep. You're fine. Let go of the Freddie Freeman thing. It's become obnoxious. I'm trying to find some good ones in the comments. You should proofread before publishing. Matt Olson is the person that replaced Freddie, not Mark. Why keep bringing up this story too? Baseball is a business. Come on, man. Everybody in the Brave circle knows why he signed with LA. Yeah, because they offered him a ton of money and he lives there. People just take it personally. It ain't personal. No. Man just tries to go back home. That's where his family's from. Like, let's just relax.
And they gave him a lot of money. Like,
a ton of money.
Sorry. Like,
and then people want to use the taxes. Well, your tax on the games where you play. So let's say LA plays 65% of their games in LA. It ain't just the full LA tax on his whole salary.
Yeah.
I had to address this because it is driving me nuts. Like, come on. Y'all have got a really good team. They won 14 games in a row. The guy who berated Acuna for his eye black and sunglasses is not going to save baseball.
That's obnoxious to me too, because literally it's a Braves rule.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Freddie Freeman went up to him and was like, dude, you look like a douche. Like, take it off.
Just like, wait till Acuna gets – I mean, just wait till he leaves.
He was 19. He was 19 years old.
He literally was just like, hey, man, like, the front office doesn't let us do that. Like, I'm just letting you know, like, you should take it off just so you don't get in trouble. Like, looking out for the dude.
Wait till however many years down the road it is when he signs with the Dodgers or the Astros or whoever, the Yankees.
Oh, that'd be bad. That'd be bad. But, yeah, like – and I get Acuna is their guy, and they're going to defend him 100%. But, and I think it's a little taken out of context what he said. He was just saying him and Freddie weren't like best friends or nothing. You don't have to be best friends. There's plenty of guys I play with I want best friends with. But yeah, and that story, it was just like, that's a Braves rule. I was just trying to address it before he went out in the field and got fined. Like,
yeah.
So that was, I see that way too often on Twitter, and I'm just fed up by it. Just the man he's an MVP. Like he's still hitting 340 or whatever he's hitting now.
Yeah,
you follow too many Braves fans on Twitter.
Yeah, I follow a bunch. So yeah, I get the scoop with the Braves. I know.
Also went to Pittsburgh this weekend and saw a group of Braves fans. So I just can't get away from them.
You went to Pittsburgh this weekend?
I did. Yes, for Father's Day.
You just missed O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah. So O'Neill got called up. on Monday, and he killed it. Monday night he had a bases clearing double, and then beat out like a routine ground ball for. Well, it was kind of bobbled, so it was
probably. Dude, he looks huge in the box. How big is he?
He's 6'7", bro.
Yeah,
God, he looks big. I played him at the complex one time. Too. He's huge.
Yeah,
dude. Everybody in Indianapolis loves him because he played for the Indianapolis Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, they love him.
What are the Indianapolis Indians?
I remember the first year we went to spring training, and he like walked out on the field, and he went to shortstop, and me and my dad like looked at each other, we're like, "Who the heck is this dude?" Okay. This is like before he was anybody. Like, you know, he had just come over from the Dodgers.
Did you just ask who the Indianapolis Indians are?
Yeah, is it a minor league team?
Yeah, Triple A.
I've generally never heard of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're our team.
I know there's a team in Indy. I didn't know they were the Indians.
That's where we play like our state championship.
Are they still the Indians?
Yeah, they're still the Indians.
They're not racist, just the Cleveland.
Typical inconsiderate Indianapolis people.
Yeah.
I don't make the rules.
It's just the people from Cleveland that are racist.
Yeah, no. Nah, Indianapolis is the hub of racist. Schnelly?
I don't think so, but.
Nah, I thought you were just going to wear it.
I was for a second, but that's not the truth.
Yeah, we'll see. Schnelly, it's been a long time coming. Haven't had this segment in a while. Put us in a pickle.
All right, I think this will be a good one. All right.
Oh.
Well, it'll cause some debate for sure, I think. Which armrest is yours in a movie theater or any place that you're sitting directly next to somebody?
I mean, I got the formula for the plane. It's the easiest formula in the world.
What is that?
If you have the middle seat, you get both armrests.
That's what Carly says.
The middle seat sucks. Why is my GoPro not working? Come on, GoPro. Figure it out. I'm going to go back to the Mac camera. And then once you live lavish with the GoPro, you don't want to go back to the Mac camera. Bull crap. Middle seat gets both. The outside gets the outside, and the window gets the one on the right. You don't get both if you look. I had to sit in the middle seat one time, and this dude kept trying to take the armrest. I'm like, bro,
they just always
like
back,
get the leverage on the inside, you know, push them out. It pisses me off. Like, listen, I'm 6'5 in the middle seat. I'm going to take up room. I get the armrest, bro. You take the outside. Have some feel.
What about like at a movie theater?
I don't know about movie theater.
I was thinking everybody gets the one to the right, but I guess
if you're on the left.
What about the guy on the left? Yeah.
Well, he has to get the one on the left.
He gets both.
Yeah, he does. He does technically get both.
That's the best seat in the house.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Yeah. I don't really know. I don't think I use the armrest in the movie theaters.
I think that looks like the drink holder or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I definitely throw the cup holder in there. That's a good question. It's not often you sit by strangers in the movie theaters. It's a little different than airplanes.
Yeah.
I can't.
But like packed house.
Yeah, Top Gun was packed the other day.
Yeah.
You know what's lame about movie theaters, speaking of it? But you have to reserve your seat before you go in now.
Yeah. Do you really? Wow.
And most of them, yeah, you have to reserve your seat. That's lame. It used to be you show up and you get to see.
Yeah.
First come, first serve. You got to get there early. You got to get in the trenches.
You went to see Top Gun?
Yeah, it was nasty.
Everybody says
like a month ago. You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
Yeah. It's the best movie I've seen in theaters in a while. It was refreshing.
You know, going to the movie theater isn't something I get to do often now. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You should take advantage while your mom was there.
I know.
You and Carly should have went.
Yeah, but she has to feed. So, like, we can't be gone that long or he's going to start freaking.
That's true. Yeah, no, Top Gun is nasty.
Yeah,
it's better than the first one. Like I like the first Top Gun a lot. I never thought it was just the best ever. Like, I thought it was good. This last one was way better than the first one.
Yeah.
I'll stand
by it. My mom and dad and sister went and see it, and they said it was really, really good.
Yeah. I'm trying to grow a mustache now. I can't do it. I can't grow a mustache. I get no hair right here on the top.
Everybody
see, mine gets dark. I get like a little Hitler stash.
Yep, Indiana. There's that Indiana bullcrap.
Yep.
What? Because I'm referring to it.
Unbelievable.
Read a history.
I should have fired you.
Dude, it's just I'm referring to a person. Adolf Hitler. He had a stash. That was dark right here. That's how mine is. The rest stays light. But I'm going to grow mine out and then dye it all. So it's freaking nasty.
What color?
Black.
Do it blonde.
Blonde
stash.
I don't think I would have to like.
That'd be gross. Anyway, I don't know who gets the movie theater armrest. That's a good question.
I forgot that's the topic that
Way off. I'm trying to think. Airplane is easy to me. And if you don't live by that, you're a scumbag. Movie theater's tough. I kind of like that everybody gets the one to the right.
And like, then whoever's on the far left gets
far moved. Left, you're goaded. But
because there's a lot of advantages to sitting on the aisle if you think about it.
Oh, a ton.
Get up to go to the bathroom, but if you get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of a movie, you're a scumbag.
That's true.
Hold it.
Yeah, but sometimes you can sense a movie getting real slow, and you can go refill your icy real quick.
The last time I went to a movie, I think, was Avengers. Is Endgame the last one that came out?
Yeah.
That was probably the last movie I saw in theaters, and I had to use the bathroom so bad by the end of it.
You couldn't.
But I held it in.
Exactly. You freaking hold
and
it.
And the movie was 7 hours, too.
Yes, it was. It was.
I saw, oh, Batman was 12 hours long. It was good, too, but it was too long.
Endgame, you could probably cut the first 45 minutes out of, and then.
Agreed. Infinity War clears Endgame, for sure.
The end of Endgame's just so sick.
Yeah, but you can't mess that up.
Yeah, no.
If you mess that up, you're just bad. You're bad at movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm stumped on the movie theater one. Airport one, though. Learn it, live it, love it. Chanelle, you wanted to have a conversation about Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you
here, I'm gonna just read you some stats. All right. And you tell me if you think this is an all-star. All right. All right, this person is 5-4 with a 3.28 ERA, a 1.09 WHIP, 77 Ks. All-star. How many innings? Gosh, now you put me on the spot here. Hold on. Oh, there it was right there. 60 innings.
Yeah, I mean, he's punched out 77 and 60 at starter innings. 1.094 WHIP is elite.
Okay.
For a starter, starters are really, really good this year down in the American League, so it's tough. It's tough if you're kicking out. Let's talk about from a broad scale.
Yeah.
Starters, I would take over Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, this is where I want to go with it.
So, here, let's do it this way. Would he be top 10 in either category?
No, I don't think so.
See, I think he might be pitching.
Okay, pitching he may be.
I think he definitely is.
Not even close on the hitting side. Like, not. I don't even put him in probably the top 25 hitting.
I mean, maybe not this year. What's last year's stats, though?
I had it pulled up.
He was a monster last year. The pitching, I think, like, what makes Ohtani special, obviously this is freaking, is that he does both. And there's a conversation that he might be, which is nuts.
Last year, he had a 257 average. But he had 46 homers.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, he's top 25 for sure. What's up?
But this year he's 250.
He got off to a bad start.
Yeah, but I just don't think. I think he's top maybe 10, like close to 10 though, closer to 10 than he is to one.
What if he didn't pitch?
If he didn't pitch, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think
he'd be a better. Like, if he had to pick one, he's a better pitcher. Like, he would have a better career pitching.
Which is crazy. He hit 46 homers, though.
Yeah, but.
No, he's a very, very good pitcher. He's electric stuff. Obviously, throws 100.
Basically, the argument I'm making is if he didn't do both, I don't think that he would be. Like, he would be a good player, but, like, he's, like, the face of baseball right now.
Well, yeah, because he does both.
Because he does both.
Last year, he had a 3.18. Over 130 innings, punched out 156, whip 1.0. Yeah.
Dude, there's 13 starters in just the American League that have an ERA of 3 or lower.
Yeah, I mean, heck, 5's on the Yankees.
13. That's nuts.
That is crazy. Yeah. McClanahan's leading the league in ERA and strikeouts.
Yeah.
The American League, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know about the whole league. Yeah, no, the starters are really good, but Shohei has a ton of punch outs. His whip is elite. He's punching on 11 and a half per nine. Yeah, I think he's a top 10 pitcher. I really do. As a starter, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of 10 I'd take above him right now. Let's do it.
Are you talking about all MLB?
All MLB.
Okay.
DeGrom. Shane McClanahan. All right, yeah, everybody's healthy. Let's do that. Yeah. DeGrom, Scherzer, Garrett Cole. Corbin Burns.
McClanahan.
I already said McClanahan. Got five. They just put me on the spot.
Verlander?
Probably. But are we just talking about this year?
Yeah, I would say just like right now, because that's
about to say. Because I'm taking a Tony over a couple of these guys if we're talking long term. He's like what 27? Yeah.
What about Verlander like this year?
Nah. I have to see it for a full year. I have to see it for a full year. I'm taking him over Tyone
Glasnow.
Yeah, if Glasnow's healthy, you got to. Which I think that one's close though. I think that one's close. I think him and Otani are close.
Lefty Robbie Ray.
Give me Otani.
Shane Bieber.
Yeah. Biebs. He's nasty.
I'm just trying to think of teams.
Yu Darvish probably.
Kershaw.
Yeah, definitely Kershaw. So there's 10.
What about Bueller? Like Joe Musgrove?
I think I'm taking Otani over Musgrove. Yeah.
Bueller.
Bueller for sure.
Max Fried.
Yeah, Fried's been nasty. Yeah, he's in that range. Like, there's some of those that I named. Like Bieber, I don't know that I would for sure take him over Otani. Otani just punches out so many dudes, and I think if he – yeah, I'd probably – he's definitely – I think he's in the 10-15.
See, that's why I say he's better pitching, because I think I could rat off 10 hitters easy right now that I would take.
Yeah. God, it's just so impressive, though, that you can do this for both.
That's
insane.
But that's what my argument – or that's what my thing is. Like, he's an MVP because he does both, but is he an MVP if he just does one? I don't think he is. Like,
I think he had 46 jacks. That's crazy. He would have been – I think he would have been in the discussion last year as a hitter. What American League hitter had a better year than him? Vlad would have won it.
Yeah.
Had Shohei not pitched. But
– because Vlad almost won it, and he
– yeah. Vlad, he had a good year.
Here, let me see. MVP race.
Yeah, that's crazy. 46 jacks while pitching. Crazy.
Yeah. It brought up the NBA. Nobody cares about the NBA.
I know it's a basketball pod, but the NBA takes on Twitter today have made me throw up.
Marcus Simeon was third.
Oh, yeah, he went crazy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of non-ball numbers on Twitter, and when it comes to basketball, it's disturbing. I had one more thing I want to talk about. Let me make sure I don't miss it. Shug, you sent me that. MLB's Next Young Star. MLB Network had a breakdown of who they all picked, of who would be the next star. I had an issue with it, though. I don't think you can take Wander.
He's already a star.
Yeah, he's on a $280 million contract. He is a star. Like, I don't think you can – like, I feel like that article is more like predicting, like, the next young star. That's a terrible prediction. That's just he is a star. Yeah.
Who do you got?
I'm gonna go with our boy Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, that's who I'm going with. I didn't even think of anybody else immediately when you said
I think Riley Green's gonna be a stud though.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah, he's good. He can
you can't top his debut he had the other day.
He hits and he hits. He's always hit. Torch's gonna figure it out too. I've played with him, he's too good of a hitter. I think Grayson Rodriguez could too.
See, that was the thing. He's I saw a nasty discussion on Twitter of like who's the number one prospect.
Yeah, we do.
I might DM him right now.
They said who's the number one prospect in baseball next year? And people were saying Grayson because he's hurt right now. And is I think out for the year.
Yeah, I'll tell you who I want to see play as the Volpe kid from the Yankees.
Yeah.
Everybody acts like he's a top prospect too. Who's the catcher that's just a monster?
Henry Davis.
Yeah, obviously Henry, but no, there's one who's supposed to be
Francisco like Alvarez.
Yes.
The Mets guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played him in the Appy League, dude. He can hit.
I've got a friend that coached the Mets in 2019. And he was talking about that was the year Beatty got drafted. Yeah. He coached the Kingsport team. So he coached Beatty, Alvarez.
Yeah,
I don't think Mauricio was there, and then Vientos. And they said that Mark pride Mark Vientos over all three of those guys. that are rated as higher prospects or whatever. So
I mean, Beatty is a beast.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I tell you what I'm kind of excited about. Speaking of, like, you know, you see the rankings and you see, like, what who teams really value. I want to get a guy who, like, a retired scout or something to come on right before the draft.
Yeah.
And tell us what goes on. I think that'd be cool.
Low-key Gorman.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he literally could hit 50 jacks every year for the next
he could,
20 years.
Like, he could legitimately lead baseball over the next 10 years in homers starting this year.
Yeah.
If he gets going. I know Bobby's too good. Like, he's Julio too. Julio is a beast.
I mean, if you count McClanahan, I would say McClanahan as a pitcher.
Nah,
and Boz.
Established Boz. Yeah, Boz, you could say, and Boz is nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think of some, like, people who hadn't been in the league yet. Grayson Rodriguez is the real deal. We're gonna try to get him on for sure.
Yeah, he's
so much young talent coming up. Speaking of not young talent, Mike Trout hit 5 homers in the series this week. Apparently he owns Seattle, which is hilarious. Just like a random team to own. But yeah, apparently he just absolutely mashes. I don't keep up like real hard with players against Seattle, but apparently he just absolutely dominates them. Bro, look, he just commented on the tweet. Oh, elite. So Major League Baseball Indonesia. How does that work? They reposted our video. Sick. Fan base Major League Baseball Dari Indonesia.
Oh, hey, Marcelo Meyer, we played him the other day. Dude's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Legit. Yeah, he came into the series with one homer, left with 5 or something like that. He got hurt for a little bit, but he's hitting like 350. And he plays
solid.
He took
that
a couple,
plays anywhere.
Yeah, he took a couple hits away from me at shortstop too.
Have you guys played the Mudcats yet?
No.
There is a guy that plays for them. His name is Jackson Churio. And that dude is a stud. He's hitting like 356 with like double-digit home runs. Let me see if I can pull up his line. He's like 19 years old is what's crazy.
That is crazy. I'm looking at the top 100 prospects right now.
He's batting 356 with an OPS of 1030 with 7 home runs and 34 RBIs.
Yeah, that plays usually. That usually will work.
He turned 18 in March.
I like this little prospect recap we got going here. All right, let's see about. All right, before we go, this podcast is brought to you by TurtleBox, as always. Nasty speaker, as you see, completely waterproof. You can put this in your living room and it matches the design. You don't have to sacrifice design to get good sound. That's TurtleBox. Needs to be in every locker room. Needs to be on every boat. Needs to be in every tree stand. This is the outdoor speaker. It's for the locker room. Use code DNR15 if you're going to get one. And if you do get one, post it. Tag us. We'll repost it. Speaking of tagging us and reposting, while I was at the FCL game, somebody came up to me, wanted to take a picture, told us he loved the pod, which was sick. So, yeah, if you ever see us out, get a picture. We're down. If you're a DNR listener, we need a cool name for our fans. We'll think of that later.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I literally tried to start thinking, and I just saw white space. Zero thoughts.
All I thought was the diamonds, but
that's lame.
That's lame, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously get your turtle box. You got anything else before we get on over to Tanner Allen, Mississippi State legend?
Not that I can think of.
Good interview. I'm excited for y'all to hear it. So we'll get y'all over there. As always, stay sparkly. Have a good week. All right. Today we welcome on a real special guest. Figured since the College World Series is happening, we bring on the legend himself, Tanner Allen. TA, what's happening?
Man, not much. We're in Lansing, Michigan right now, getting ready for another week series.
What's the weather like in Lansing, Michigan in June?
It's pretty good. It's about 75, 80, somewhere in there, but it doesn't feel that hot. So
yeah, that's nice. That's real nice. I bet it wasn't that nice when you first one up there in about April.
No chance. And like I said, we were playing every night, probably about 35 degree. The wind was probably blowing 20 miles an hour. So, I mean, you're an outdoors guy. You don't even want to go deer hunting in that.
No, no. You don't get that much at Mississippi State, huh?
No. Maybe one or two games here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal, man. That's. I've always heard about that league, though, that beginning of the year is pretty tough.
The pitchers definitely dominate early because it's no fun to hit in that weather.
Heck no. No, I like that. That's what I say. I like pitching in cold weather. I hate cold weather, but for that reason, I'm good with it. Like, nobody wants to hit, so I might as well pitch, you know? That you definitely don't want to get one off the hands in 35-degree weather.
No chance.
That'll ruin the rest of the day. Well, Tanner, you've got the College World Series going on. Obviously, you were there just last year. Kind of want to start off with that. What was that experience like after y'all had been once before, but then finally closing it out?
It was good, man. You know, like you said, I went my freshman year and we were in the driver's seat. We were in the winner's bracket in Oregon State, who ended up winning it all, beat us twice and hit us home. And then my sophomore year, we had a better team and we went back. But like it's just so hard to win up there, man.
Yeah.
Secret is you got to stay in the winner's bracket, and we got a loser's bracket that year and got beat. And then obviously last year we played some pretty good ball up there and were able to seal the deal. So that was something I'll never forget. It was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, I mean, just getting there is tough enough. So to make it there three times is a credit to the team that y'all had, because, I mean, especially you mentioned in 19, y'all's team was really, really, really good. Like I thought pound for pound, y'all's lineup was probably better than Vanderbilt's. Just especially the week we played y'all. I mean, nobody got out. I feel like y'all had to be pretty confident rolling into Omaha that year.
Yeah, we were, man. And like you said, we had Connor Pilkington and Ethan Small. I mean, that's 1-2 punch right
and
there.
And JT.
I mean, we had three guys. I mean, when you get to the postseason – and you got two really, really good starters, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, you get those two wins and move on. I mean, but like I said, you got to stay in the winner's bracket.
Yeah. Because
then everyone gets tired in that loser's bracket.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge advantage. And y'all had the minor league reliever of the year come out of the bullpen, Colby Watt. Yeah. We've had him on here before. Like, yeah. Y'all were loaded.
Loaded. I mean, it made it a 7-inning game. You know, we called him the Marion Missile. Man, I'll never forget the first time I faced Colby White. So it was my sophomore year in the fall. Obviously, you come in, you got a lot of new guys, a lot of new faces. And Colby was quiet at first. He's real shy until you get him to break out of his shell. And then he came into pitch, and I was like talking to Gotro, our hitting coach. I was like, who is this guy? I don't, you know, this is a new guy. He's like, this kid right here throws 100 miles an hour. I was like, wow. So we always used to pick at him because he really couldn't throw off speed that good, you know. And his first innings, me and Rowdy back-to-back doubled off of him. And then so we're talking after, I was like, man, your stuff's electric, but you find off speed, man, you're gonna be dominant, you know what I mean? It's pretty easy to hit a guy that you know is only gonna throw fastballs. And as you can tell, I mean, he was the minor league reliever of the year last year. He's got all speed with that electric fastball now, so it's the sky's the limit. I mean, I know he got hurt. I talked to him a lot. I know he got hurt, but it's not going to surprise me if he comes back throwing just as hard or even harder.
Yeah, no, for sure. The timing of the injury really sucked because he was definitely going to be in the big leagues this year. But it won't prolong nothing. Like, he'll be back next year and be throwing flames again. So be good to see that. I know you're from Bama. I wanted to ask what the pool was in Mississippi State. Like, how close do you live to campus?
Okay, so I was, like, perfect distance from school. I was, like, 3.5-4 hours, which was just far enough to kind of be on your own. And then if you wanted to go home, you can go. So that was perfect, man. Starville was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like me. You like deer hunting. You like fishing. So it was everything I could ever want, baseball, hunting, and fishing. So,
yeah.
School, I did.
Yeah, and I mean, like, just going there and seeing the environment, like, it's easy to see why players want to play there. Like, it's just like, I think it was the place that I noticed the most where they just really loved you guys as players. Like they were behind every one of y'all 100%. Like they wanted y'all to come hang out with them after the game, like stuff like that. It was like a culture thing. Did you notice that when you took a visit there?
Yeah, man. I out of high school, I was committed to LSU, and right at the last second, my senior signing day, I decommitted from LSU and went to Mississippi State. And honestly, it's been the best decision I've ever made. Starkville's unbelievable, man. It's if you've seen the Andy Griffith Show, it's just like Mayberry.
it really is, though. You're right. Like it's like you're driving down the interstate, just woods on each side, and then all of a sudden there's a turn. Boom, there's a Mississippi State in the middle of the woods.
That's it.
I remember we were riding there on the bus, and I was like, dang, where is this place? And then all of a sudden, we just turned left on the campus. I'm like, oh, here we are. Here we are. So I didn't realize you were committed to LSU. I always wanted to take a visit there. I never did, but I never got to play there either. But that's another place where the environment, like, stands out. It's definitely a cool spot, and there's, like, so much history there. You definitely had a decision between two of the like most historic baseball programs, I'd say.
Oh yeah, it was a tough decision because I had, you know, I've been on a visit to LSU and that place is absolutely electric. You know what I mean? Get just as many fans as Mississippi State. But I just felt at the time the coach there wanted me more than Mississippi State, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah.
He was on like, man, you get here, you play from day one. So he ended up actually getting the head coach job at Mississippi State. And I was like, well, if you're going to give me the same opportunity I'm going to have at LSU, I'm definitely going to Mississippi State.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I wish I had taken more visits when I was getting recruited because, like, I never even imagined Mississippi State was the way it was. Y'all's environment was nuts. I remember that, like, the thing that stood out the most to me was – the fans, like, they were good baseball fans. Like, it wasn't like they were just, you know, trashy, cussing you out, this, that, and another. Like, they were – during BP, they just want to have real conversations with you. They'd be giving you barbecue and stuff. And then, obviously, during the game, they're pulling for you guys with all they got. And then after the game, they're shaking your hand, giving you a high five, stuff like that. So, I appreciated that aspect of it, too, where it was like, all right, before and after the game, like, it's all good that we're just kind of building relationships. During the game, obviously, it's war. And then afterwards, it's, you know, hey, y'all have a safe trip home.
Yeah, it was neat, man. It's like right field, we were like a family, to be honest with you. Like, I'd go out there during BP and talk to all the guys in right field. The student section was back there, so I had a lot of my friends back there. So, we'd have, like, normal conversations during the game. It was wild. I think I even got a video of me, like, eating a hamburger during the game in a regional. Everybody was so shocked about it. Like, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know I always ate food in, like, the fourth and the seventh inning.
That's mainly. Hilarious.
Like, the game would be over. If we won, Mr. Brad Bounds in right field would always have me some barbecue. So, I'd run out there and he'd have it in a trash bag. And that's what me and Rowdy would almost eat on all week long.
you knew the menu by Sunday, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The fourth inning, you had a burger on the way. That's awesome. Exactly. That's awesome. But like any fan base, I mean, there's the fans that really love baseball and they're at the games every game supporting you guys. Then there's the fans on Twitter. Because I remember the year y'all won the Natty. Somebody called y'all out for going downtown. Y'all were on a losing streak or something. Somebody called you out for going downtown, this, that, and another. In a big fan base like that, do you get that a lot?
Oh, man, I got it so much. People don't realize, you know, we are student athletes. Obviously, we're in college. Obviously, we're going to class, playing baseball. That's kind of hard. I mean, you've been there. It's hard to manage time. Like,
yeah. You
didn't really get a lot of time to actually enjoy college. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. We would go out and have fun all the time. But the thing about it was, the difference was, we knew that the next day – we showed up. We had to bring it. There was no excuse. And I kind of did my best to hold everybody to that standard of, you're going to go have fun tonight, you better be able to show up in the morning, because if not, we're going to have a problem. You know what I mean? And I can remember, I mean, after clearly every fan base wants to win every single game. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should win every game. And we get beat. And I'd get tagged on Twitter of stuff. You know, we saw you in the district last night running the bars, going crazy. I mean, why aren't you in the cage trying to make your swing better? And these people understand that I'm in the cage probably 6 hours a day. You know what I mean? At the least. You get to the field at 1 o'clock for practice. That's when practice starts. That's not counting the early work, you know, at 12 o'clock. So, I mean, I feel like, to be honest with you, last year, that going out, I mean, we weren't doing it all the time, but, like, we would go out and have fun and hang out, but we went out as a team. It brought a lot of team bonding into the picture. You know what I mean? I'm not saying we'd go out and get everybody get hammered and not be able to function the next day. You know what I mean? It wasn't that. It was just going out and hanging out. And to be honest with you, it was, I mean, the student section in right field, we'd have like 5,000 people in it. So they like hanging out with us too. So it was like a family, man.
No, and that's, like you said, it's part of college. And there's a thin line between putting, like, your priorities. You do have to keep them straight. But if you're baseball all the time, it ain't no good for nobody.
It's no good for nobody. You get exhausted.
Yeah. And like you said, it's part of team bonding. You're building relationships with the fans. Like, and that's the biggest thing to college for me is the networking that you get. Like, you meet so many people and you build so many relationships. Like, you know so many people once you leave college that, like, so many doors are open for anything you want to do. And that's all part of the experience. Like, and I get it. Like, fans are passionate. They're loyal. They want to win. But part of winning on the field is doing all the other stuff behind the scenes where – You got to take some breaks. If you ain't taking no breaks, you're just going to stress yourself out, and you're going to press, and you're going to do all those things that ain't helping you win.
For sure, man. I can remember Coach Lamonis. You know, he's from the north, so he really doesn't get it down here. Me and one of my best friends, Brad Cumbus, we both building a camouflage, you know, and he's like, "Is all y'all doing is that all?" I mean, we weren't getting like stomped, but like we would go turkey hunting in the morning and stuff like that. And he's like, "Y'all need to start focusing on baseball." Like, "Coach, hunting's not getting in the way of our performance, I promise. We've still got our stuff." You know what I mean? And Coach Lamont just had a really, really good attitude about, you know, he understood that we're not, you know, robots. We're not just going to go play baseball, go to school, go to sleep, and restart. You know what I mean? He understood that we were college students. But like you said, he also held us to the standard and made us have the accountability that – you better bring it every day if you're going to have fun off the field.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was going to say. It is a credit to him and you guys because a lot of coaches just shut that down. Like, "No, you're not doing that. You're not allowed." But he knew that y'all were going to treat it professionally. He gave y'all the leash to do it, and it was up to y'all to, like you said, if you're going to do it, you better bring it the next day. Like, don't let it leak over. So being treated like, if you're treated like professionals and act like professionals, then is going to pay off.
Man, it was neat because we were having fun and doing all that. And we'd see people get mad on Twitter and all the word going out about how we were just partying all weekend long. But the way we went about it is we just kept our mouths shut. I'm getting in the locker room and getting just like aggravated with all these people because they think they know everything and they don't. It's like Twitter, you know, the Twitter warriors.
Yeah.
So we just kept our mouths shut. And just went about our business, kept working, and then we win it all. And I just had to take a shot at one guy, man. He tagged me, and he used a swear word. He called me by a swear word. I'm not going to repeat, but I'll never forget. You know, when I saw that, the kind of motivation that, I mean, that guy really just called me out to try to embarrass me because we lost one game in baseball. Which, you mean, you know how baseball is, man. You can lose a game just as quick as anything, but. And his selfish thinking, he'd probably take credit that he motivated us to win. But no, that's not the way about it, man.
No, not at all.
These are 18 to 19, 20, 21-year-old kids playing baseball in college. I mean, these guys couldn't – I'd love to see how that guy would handle the spotlight. You know what I mean?
And as much as they don't want to admit it or people don't want to admit it, that's part of recruiting too. Like, that's the experience. You recruit the college experience. Like, if there ain't nothing to do, nobody's coming. You know, you don't just commit to the baseball team. You commit to the school, which that's all part of it. So you're right. And I bet he is taking credit for it. That's classic there. But I did see that. I don't know if it's already came out. I'm pretty sure it's already came out. But y'all had a documentary on the season.
Yeah, it came out last Tuesday, I believe, or this past Tuesday.
That's pretty cool. Were they like behind the scenes the whole season with y'all?
No, they weren't behind the scenes with this whole season, but they did use some of the stuff that we had videoed behind the scenes a little bit, and then they basically just interviewed a lot of people and got to talk about what was going on behind the scenes. And I think it was neat because everybody, all they saw was, you know, us get beat at the SEC tournament, 10-run rule, back-to-back days, and then they saw us, you know, get unbelievably hot in the postseason and go all the way and win it all. They didn't see the behind the scenes after getting 10-run ruled, back-to-back days, going home and Coach Lamona's being like, hey, look, take a day or two to just get away from the game. We'll pick it back up on Monday and get ready for the postseason, you know?
Yeah.
And I still believe that was one of the smartest moves he made all last year, was giving us that little mental break after, I mean, we got stomped. And the sad part about it was the second game, Tennessee beat us when we threw Christian McLeod, Will Bednar, and Landon Sims. Our three best arms. We got a stone, but that's just baseball. Anybody could be anybody on any given day.
Yep. Yep. That's why I'll always think baseball is the hardest sport to win, because, like you said, the best team doesn't always win it, and usually doesn't. It's usually not the best team that wins. It's the hottest team that wins. We saw that with Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and it's a fairly new fan base to baseball, so – you know, they're used to football, they're used to basketball, where the best team usually wins. So they're the best team all year, and they're writing themselves up as the best team of all time, and kind of went ahead and wrapping a bow on the season. And I'm like, y'all ain't even started the season yet. Like, it's impressive what you've done, but I'm telling you, the best team does not always win. You got to bring it the whole time.
Yeah, it was, you know, watching Tennessee all year long, they seem like, you know, the bully on the block. You know what I mean? I mean, they were killing people, and they were having fun doing it, rubbing it in everybody's face. They kind of seemed like they were the bad guys. But the baseball gods see everything, dude. Everything. You disrespect the game, and, you know, these guys don't understand. College baseball is exploding. They don't understand what kind of platform they have. There's little kids watching the games, you know what I mean? And when you're dropping F-bombs and flipping the bird to people, I mean, maybe that's their identity as a team. They want to be the big guys, the big dogs, and the punks. I mean, you saw that with Miami football a long time ago. But
yeah,
these young guys look up to that, and I truly believe, you know, they got a nice bite of humble pie.
Yeah, super. And a thing we talked about on this pod a lot, which I think people underestimate a lot, is you can't bully a team that's full of 21, 22-year-old guys like Notre Dame. Like, they're old. Old teams in baseball are cheat codes. Like, you guys were old when y'all won. Y'all had a bunch of draft guys, a bunch of seniors. It's just, you've been there. Like, you're not, they weren't scared of Tennessee walking in there. They were ready to roll, and they were going to be the ones to punch in the mouth. So, you just see there, like, how special baseball is and how impressive it is that y'all went to Omaha three times, because just because you have the most talent does not mean you're going to walk out there and win.
No chance. It's all about leadership. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Notre Dame went into that the Super Regional with a chip on their shoulder saying, you know what, we're against the best team, apparently the best team in college baseball history. What do we got to lose? If we get beat, we're supposed to beat. And that allowed them to play so free and aggressive. And you can kind of tell, man, when they jumped on Tennessee didn't even know how to react to it. Mm-mm. They didn't.
No. And like you said, that they weren't. I remember the quote from Link Jarrett, their coach, where they were asking about Tennessee's power and this, that, and another. And a lot of Tennessee fans took this as a shot. And I don't think it was a shot. I think it was more of a message to his team, because he said, yeah, you have to remember, though, their park is pretty small, so they might have some inflated power numbers. Like, I just don't want my team to overestimate their power. Like, they weren't buying into the media hype of, you know, this team, they've hit 150 home runs, they've done this, that, and another. He was looking at it as, hey, these guys, you know, they're the same as us. Let's go out there and beat them.
Their record is 0-0 right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've done all this stuff in the past.
Yeah.
And I loved it, man. You know, I'm a big underdog fan. I like seeing underdogs win. That's why I'm pulling for Notre Dame right now in the College World Series. But they're in the loser's bracket, so it's going to be tough.
They're kind of built for it, though. They have so many arms. Like, that's how you get out of there.
Yeah. I played against them last year in the Super Regional, and they were tough, man. I got a lot of respect for them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So kind of transition over on the other side of ball. So you go from some College World Series, playing in front of 25,000, have just like the most loyal fan base in college baseball, and you go straight to Jupiter, Florida, and you play in the FCL. Where was your motivation at on a scale of 1 to 10 there?
It was – I'll never forget, like, the first day I walked into the facility, I looked out on that field. It was about midday. It was about 100 degrees, and these guys were playing in front of nobody. I'm like, man, I hope I ain't got to do that. I went through about a week of training, post-draft training, and then I was in those games at 12 o'clock.
Dude, they're hot.
God, they only let me, yeah, like two or three games, and they moved me up to the low A team. So that was good. But, man, it was a grind.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, waking up at 6 a.m. every day to go train and then playing at midday, then coming home and restarting doing it again, it was tough.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people just think it's because you're new, you're not used to it. But we have a big leaguer rehabbing down here right now, and he threw two innings of live BP last week. And I remember he came inside and he was like, dude, it's like that second inning. Like I lost it. He's like, I've never sweat this much on the mound in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's tough.
It's tough. It is unbelievable. And then, you know, being in that, you go from the College World Series, seeing some of the best arms and like Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, you know, those guys. And then going to see these young kids. I mean, they got talent, but like, they don't know where the ball's going.
Right.
I mean, it makes it really tough.
No, I know, Schnell had to get off, but he would agree that it's probably the hardest league to hit in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Just for that reason. Like, you can't really go up with a plane. He's kind of got a see ball, hit ball, because you never know what it's going to be in the zone.
Never know, because these guys, I mean, like I said, the arm talent is through the roof. They got really big curveball, really sharp sliders, and electric fastballs, but no idea where any one of them are going.
Yeah, another guy that was down here rehabbing, his name's David Hess. He actually just went back to Durham, but he had a tumor all offseason, and he got it. He's cleared, though, like cleared and all that, so he's back. But he was rehabbing some innings here, and they know, like, the guys out here know when a big leaguer's rehabbing. Like, and I think they get kind of excited because they know they're going to see something to hit. So he said, like, first pitch of the game, just kind of grooved it in there, boom, double in the gap. He was like, dang. And then he threw another fastball, boom, another barrel. He was like, all right, I got to make something up here. Yeah. They were just jumping at the chance to see some balls in the zone, so they were just swinging.
For sure.
It's a different type of baseball, but it's just challenging. It's not even the baseball, it's the most challenging part, like you said. Just playing in front of nobody, the weather, everything about it. It's tough. It's really tough to find the motivation.
You know, bus rides are great. We had a 10-hour bus ride Monday. This past Monday, you know?
Yeah.
10-hour bus ride, got to the hotel, went to sleep. We had a midday game the next day. You know, they're saying it's not even as bad as it used to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, that's tough scheduling.
Sleeping in hotels every night. So,
yeah. I was going to ask you, so you're in your first real full season with the Beloit Sky Carp, which, cool name, at least. You got a cool name and logo to start with.
Beloit Canadian Geese.
Yeah. Is that an alternate?
No, everybody was standing there outside the stadium like one of the first days, and they're like, oh, there goes Sky Carp. I'm like, well, I'm from, that's called a Canadian Goose.
So that's actually what it is?
Yeah.
That's like a slang for it or something?
Yeah. Apparently those are pretty, you know, territorial. They don't really migrate that much. They kind of hang out up here. So that's a different thing.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You already mentioned that. But go ahead.
I told him I got one of them with a 12 gauge. It sounded like an SUV hitting the ground. I got some weird looks up here.
Dude, like, you know, where we're from, you just, like, everybody's like us, you know. So then you kind of get in these settings, and all of a sudden you're like, maybe I'm a little bit redneck. Like, I never thought of myself as redneck, but I might be a little bit.
No, for sure.
I told my parents that not long ago. I was like, y'all don't understand. We got some redneck in us. Like, it's different where I'm at right now.
I'm telling you, I'm standing in the outfield, and there's a river behind our field, and there's like every night, or you know, right at dusk, there's like 100 mallards that come to roost around the bend of that creek where there's no current, and I'm like catching myself in the game watching these mallards circle. Why are you watching the ducks? I'm like, you've never seen a duck try to land in your face with a shotgun in your hand.
Yeah. So
you never witnessed that.
Once you do it once, even when I'm playing golf around here, like there's like four mallards sitting in the pond. I'm like, those things are chilling.
Yeah, we're playing golf and there's mallards in the pond. I walk up to the pond and there's bass and brim in there. I'm like looking at the brim on the bed. I'm like, man, bring me a cane next time.
There ain't no mallards just chilling in a pond in Ringgold, Georgia. There's no time of the year.
There's deer everywhere up here. Like back home, you don't see deer unless you got a spotlight at night and you shine a field and maybe you'll see some out there. And then as soon as the spotlight hits them, they're gone.
They're a little bit smarter down here because the pressure is a lot more. Like I go hunting in Illinois and it's the same thing. It's like everything you do down here, you're spooking them. Like you can't move, you can't drop a pin. Like they're gone. Up there, you can do a lot. You can get away with a lot more because they're not as scared. They're just kind of chilling. They're not looking up in the trees, blowing, none of that. They're just walking around, which is crazy that animals adapt like that because like you said, there's a lot of pressure down here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You mentioned the 10-hour bus ride. Any other experiences you've had where you're like, I've officially become a minor league baseball player?
Walking in the first day to a hotel room and being like, wow, really, I'm going to be in this thing for 6 months. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, well, where's my kitchen I'm supposed to have? Well, you got complimentary breakfast. Thanks. First bus ride, first road trip of the year, bus breaks down.
That's the initiation.
Yeah, bus breaks down. I think the radiator blew up on us about, and got off the bus, got on the other bus, we're loaded in. One of the guys starts playing the flute on the bus. And just, my career has really, really started off great. I'm like, and then another guy's got a guitar. I'm like, we can start a band in here.
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. You're trying to sleep when you got some flute going off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, I don't know where some of these guys find the energy at that time of day. They never run out. Never run out.
I just put my AirPods in, man, and then honestly, just lay back and chill. Play a little Mafia every now and then. That's fun.
Yeah.
Bus rides are brutal.
They are brutal. I kinda glossed over an experience that we had together was Team USA in 2019. I try to describe to people because they, you know, they're like, oh, that's awesome. Like this, that, and another. And I'm like, yeah, like it was super cool playing for Team USA. I was like, the schedule just jacked us up though. The schedule was awful.
I told our guys the other day, one of our stories, how we were flying from Taiwan to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We get all the way over there. What was like a 2.5 hour flight? Over there. Our plane, we circled the runway about 2 or 3 times. A plane tries to come down. We skip off the runway back up into the air. And then they're like, it's too wet. We got to fly back to Taiwan. And we basically sleep in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I end up getting us a hotel room. And then we fly out to Japan the next day, get there, go straight to the field and get ready to play.
The planes got monotonous, like you said. And that day, for some reason, I was in a section above everybody else. And so I feel a skip off the runway like that. And I was like, what is going on? It's so, like, I take my headphones off. I'm looking around and it's all Japanese people in my section.
Yeah.
And they're coming over the intercom speaking Japanese. I'm like, what? I don't know what's happening. I'm starting to freak out a little bit. Obviously, I'm not going to get up. And I think finally somebody walked through because we circled like 2 or 3 more times and tried to come down. I was like, nah, we're going back.
Yeah,
that was tough. That was tough.
It was brutal.
That was the problem. Like, it was like we play at 7, get on a plane at 10, fly to the next place. But once you land, you got to wait around, get all the helmets, get all the balls, get all the bags, load up the bus. That was nothing about the baseball was bad. That part was terrible.
That part was terrible. The food was brutal.
They finally caved in and got us McDonald's pregame that one day.
Exactly.
The best meal we had.
Yeah, that was a good experience, though, man. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was definitely an experience worth doing.
I'll never forget, we got in a rain delay one day, and I was like, there's no chance we're playing today. I mean, it's stormed. And their infield was all dirt. And they had, like, an army of guys come out there, an army of field crew come out there with sponges and wheelbarrows. They sponged the entire infield. And we played 3 hours late.
Yeah. Yeah. You had the people, we got in the tarp games off where people were just running around the tarp doing head first slides, stuff like that. That's when I was like, yeah, we're definitely not playing. This is turning into a circus.
You know, everybody talks about how, you know, it could be a Chinese fire drill. It was literally a Japanese fire drill. Those guys they had that field in plain shape in 2 hours. And I swear, like you said, you could have bass fished on that field 2 hours before.
No, it was impressive. Just the whole, like, baseball environment was so different. Like, you had the bands going. You had the dancers on top of the dugout. It was like, where are we at?
Yeah.
Never played in this.
Oh, yeah. I remember getting on the elevator to go to a game. Some of their players were there, smoked cigarettes on the elevator before the game. Unbelievable.
They did. They would rip heaters, especially that Cuban team that we played first.
Yeah, yeah.
They were ripping heaters, and they were about 30.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was awesome. That was like one of my favorite baseball memories was that 4th of July game in Durham.
Durham, yeah.
That was special because that, I mean, like 4th of July and baseball go hand in hand. And then obviously you're playing for Team USA. Like that was like the peak of my career.
That's right. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, TA, we appreciate you coming on. Best of luck the rest of the year. I hope you stay healthy and we'll have to get you back on sometime.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, guys. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Enjoy the off day, man.
You too, brother.